Hello, my name is Maleen, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, wellness, health, freedom, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. In this episode, at the close of the program, I'll be announcing two vegan events happening on June 7th, 2025, one in Connecticut and the other one in Massachusetts. That news will be shared at the end of the program. Now, I'd like to share this recorded talk by Renee King Sonnen, founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Texas. Here's Renee King Sonnen, February 9th, 2025, Tanglewood Fruit Festival, Costa Rica. Edited, shortened version of her speech.
I was born in Houston, Texas. All right. I mean, I was a true Texan. You know, chili cook-offs, barbecue cook-offs. The idea and the concept of being a vegan was never in my frame of reference. I came into this world in a very violent home. I was actually conceived from date rape. My mother was raped by my dad, and she married him. I came out fighting. I came out fighting everything, everybody. My daddy was very violent. He beat my mother all the time. So I lived in a realm of extreme violence, and I was always protecting my mother, constantly protecting. I was her savior all the time. Here I am, a kid, my mother's 16, and I'm her protector. I never had the nurturing, the mother, the energies that I needed. My dad was a drunk. He was never there. He was always either drunk, beating my mom, or checked out. And so I became the hero, the hero child. I was angry as could be. Started out doing all the things. I started drinking at a very young age. Alcohol, experimented with drugs. No drug was off limits for me, so I'm going to get real clear on that. I've done just about all of them in every way, shape, fashion, and form you can put them in your body. And here I am today, sober 12 years. 10 years ago, on October 31st, 2014, I went vegan on a Texas cattle ranch. I married my husband that I have now, Tommy, for the second time. We were married not once, but twice. I lived the extremes. I was on the road with my own country western rock and roll band. I produced all kind of concerts. If anybody knows what the Houston Astrodome is, you may not, but if you know Houston, you know the Astrodome was huge. That's where all the big stars played. Doug Stone, Tracy Lawrence in the day, Trisha Yearwood. And my school that I had at the time produced shows in this Astrodome. We opened up for major acts. But what did I do? I would do all these big things. I would do alcohol, drugs, crash it to the ground. Every time. Crash it. Somebody always had to come to my rescue and save the day. I tried to get sober about 32 years ago, and so it's been a real struggle for me through my life. 11 years, 6 years, 4 years, 2 years, I would struggle with sobriety. And I can honestly say that this last time I got sober, I literally was on death's door. Seriously, for the hardest time in my life, and I was willing to do whatever it took, finally, and I did. So when I married Tommy the first time, I had been sober for like 9 months on one of those stints, and so he met somebody that was very, you know, sober. I wasn't drinking. I was singing. He met me at a nightclub, had on a pair of red spandex pants, red satin, fringe out to here, white boot, leather boots, my hair all up. It was like in the late 80s, you know, the makeup. And man, I had a wireless microphone, and when he came strutting in the room, I walked up to him, I sat in his lap, and I started singing Crazy. And it was crazy from the get-go. Okay, I'll just tell you, that man fell in love with me, I fell in love with him. 9 months later, here comes the bride. We get married, and a few months into our first marriage, he was telling me, you know, he smoked a little pot every now and again, and yada yada. We were talking one day, and I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I got a joint stored up, you know, in my safe or whatever." I said, "You do?" Well, that's all it took. So I did that. Next thing you know, I'm doing everything else, and Tommy didn't know who I was because I couldn't stop. I kept on. So I'm going to fast forward because it wasn't pretty. We stayed married about 6 years, and in that 6 years, it was horrible. Unbelievable. Up and down. I mean, the things I did, you'd have to come to an AA story to hear all that. But I'm just needless to say, I put that poor man through all kind of hell. And when I finally crashed and burned, I literally went into a place where I couldn't even function. I had to have treatment, 4 months in a halfway house, and I'm married with a home, you know, and I was terrified to come out into the world. So when I finally did, me and my husband could not keep it together. I had so much shame, so much guilt, so much stuff. And so we divorced. And in that time period, 10 years later, I did all kinds of soul journeys. I did all kind of work, psychotherapy. I was in and out of sobriety. Fast forward 10 years later, I ended up crashing and burning again and picking myself back up and getting sober. And Tommy and I married during this stint. We married, I think I'd been sober 4 years, maybe, when we married the second time. Here comes the bride. And we get married again, and it wasn't even a year later. I decided I could drink again. And thankfully, me and my husband didn't divorce. I did get sober because I almost died. I got sober on January the 8th, 2013. It was really, really a hard, hard road. My husband and I married in 2010, and in 2013, I finally got sober again. And I've been sober ever since. But from January the 8th, 2013 to October 31st, 2014, something started happening to me. See, I never wanted to move in to the ranch. I never wanted to be a cattle rancher. I was kind of like the Green Acres, Zsa Zsa Gabor and whatever that is. You know, if you ever saw Green Acres. He wanted me involved. He wanted me to help him on the ranch. So he would always ask, "Why don't you go with me and help me open the gates?" I'm like, "No, you do that. I'm doing something else. I'm doing my yoga, my meditation, I'm producing a show." I said, "You do that." And, you know, he said, "But I need some help." I said, "Well, hire somebody." So he comes home one day. He said to me, "Renee, there is a rancher up the road that has a couple of baby calves that need a mama." He said, "You want to go look at her?" I did. He took me to look at them, and one of them was Bobo. She died very prematurely. But the other one was a little black calf with a little white heart on her head, and she came bouncing up to me, and I said, "Wow, aren't you a little rowdy girl?" She would just frolic and kick her heels, and you know, and I said, "Yes, I'll buy these calves." So I bought them for $600, $300 a piece, took them home, and they became my reason for wanting to get up in the morning. And every night before I went to bed, you know, right before sundown, I went out there to feed them. And little Bobo died. You know, she never got her colostrum. But Rowdy Girl thrived. Rowdy Girl became a conduit for me. Now, I've always been a spiritual person. Through all of the years of alcohol and drug addiction, I always was into spiritual things. Always. So when I started bottle feeding Rowdy Girl, spiritually, I began to see things I had never seen before. I was a yoga teacher at the time, a massage therapist. I've got my massage therapy license, all the things. And when I started seeing all the other cows, we had like 30. We didn't have a big herd. We had about 30 cows. And I began to go, I'd be bottle feeding her and I'd go, "They're all black Angus. Or Brangas, you know, they're black. Some of them had a little bit of white, but you can't typically tell them apart. They're just cows, right?" Well, Rowdy Girl started showing me their differences, and I began to name them one by one. And you don't name cows if you're gonna kill them. And so my husband would say, Renee, you got to stop naming them cows. You know, you got to stop that. And I was like, but, you know, they're showing me who they are. And I would tell my husband, you're showing me who they are. He was like, Renee, you need to stop that. You need to stop it right now. We need to, you know, because he started getting really worried. Because this was his, he worked at Dow Chemical, but this was his, like, portfolio to add to, for his retirement, his cattle ranch. You know, he baled hay, he sold calves every 6 months, took them to the sale barn. He didn't sell the cows, the actual big mamas, he sold their babies every 6 months. So the first time that he did that, when I was paying attention, first time I paid attention, I was like gonna go out there and help him. Cause I had rowdy girl. I had a reason, I was kind of like in the thing now. I was becoming a cattle rancher's wife. And so I went out there to help him, and I began to watch what they were doing. And a part of me was wanting to help and do this and be a good cattle rancher's wife. And another part of me spiritually was going, there's something wrong with this. Part of me, I was very conflicted. I started going, what is wrong with this? They would open up this gate, this latch. The baby cows would go in and get the feed. The mamas would be all around. And this was all done over the course of a few days. It didn't happen instantly. My husband and his partner would bait these babies so that the babies would go in the trailer and the mamas would be all around, you know, so the babies felt safe. And then as soon as there was like 6 or 7 of them in there, the chain was yanked back, the gate was shut, and boom, off they went. And the babies instantly burst tears. I saw it with my own eyes, tears. The mamas started chasing the trailer. They, whenever that truck went up Highway 35, we had 1.5 miles of highway frontage. As soon as that truck and with the trailer went up the road, the mamas to those babies, not all the other cows, the mamas to those babies ran up the whole 1.5 miles of that fence line, bellowing. It was a sound I'll never forget. I'll never forget that day. It did something to me. I didn't go vegan that day. I didn't even think about being a vegan. I felt so much pain. I never had kids. And what I was watching was mothers grieving for babies that we were taking away from them and selling. I saw that. And I couldn't unsee it. Some people can unsee it. Some people can see these things and just keep going through the motions of thinking, well, this is what we do for a living. This is what we do. We're, you know, we're feeding the world, yada, yada, yada. I've heard all the things. I could not unsee. And I believe it's because of my spiritual practice through the years. In one of my yoga teachers' training, we studied ahimsa, nonviolence. So when that happened, I told Tommy, I went in there and I said, Tommy, can't you hear all those cows crying, all the mamas? Can't you hear them outside? They were just like, oh. Anybody here ever heard a mama cow grieve? You know what I'm talking about. It is like, it's different than a moo, right? It's like guttural. It's like wailing grief. And it doesn't just happen for a few moments. It happens for a few days. They do everything they can to figure out where their babies are. They're grieving. They're struggling. I went out there and I would get on my hands and knees and I would cry with them because it affected me so bad. It touched me. It got through to me. But I wasn't a vegan. I was a Texas rancher's wife having a spiritual awakening on a cattle ranch. And I didn't know that. I didn't know I was opening up to this. It took another 4 years after that experience for me to become a vegan, and I didn't plan it.
We're listening to Renee King Sonnen, founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, a vegan animal sanctuary in Texas, an education center with many programs that are helping to veganize this planet. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with our program. Welcome back from the break, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. I'm sharing this talk by Renee King Sonnen, founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. She's given this speech on February 9th, 2025, at the Tanglewood Fruit Festival in Costa Rica. She's continuing her discussion about her experience on the cattle ranch when her husband, Tommy Sonnen, would be herding the six-month-old calves into the red trailer.
He was ready to sell the babies every 6 months. He tried to do it when I wasn't looking, okay? He tried to do it when I wasn't there, but it didn't help because even though I wasn't there, when I would come home, I could feel the emptiness. I could hear the mothers. I knew. And I would come inside and I would say, "You did it again. You did it again." He was like, "What? What are you talking about?" I said, "You sold some babies." He said, "Renee, that's what we do. You got to get some big girl panties on." He told me that. "You got to get some big girl panties on. You're a cattle rancher." And I was doing some research about what we were doing. I started researching around that time. And I started seeing what happens to the baby calves. I started watching slaughterhouse videos. And he told me, he said, "Renee, that is all PETA propaganda. Quit watching all that PETA propaganda." And I said, "I don't think this is no propaganda, Tommy. This is all happening through 4 years, okay? I'm fast forwarding a little bit, okay? Because we had a lot of fights about this. Because I didn't like what we did. I wasn't a vegan, but I didn't like the fact that I would go out there and feed Rowdy Girl. I would see these cows, and then I began to start having relationships with them. I began to do yoga with them. I began to sing to them. I really started falling in love with cows. I loved being with them. And then he'd sell them, and I was like, oh my God. And I just felt this bitter hole in my gut. We have, you know, 7 dogs at home and 5 cats. I mean, we had a raccoon that we raised. My husband loved animals. And I couldn't believe this man was doing this. And so I was tortured. And I'm not a vegan. I just started waking up. He was at the time an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And we were going to the Presbyterian Church every Sunday. Because we'd go through these lines and I'd see all this stuff on the buffet. And I wasn't a vegan. But it began to affect me. I began to like have these real like, "Oh my God, that could be Rowdy Girl," you know? On October 31st, it's Halloween. I became an ethical vegan. So when you go vegan for the animals, when you become an ethical vegan, not for health. Health reasons is totally different. Eating a raw food diet, eating a vegan diet, plant-based or whatever, for health reasons is good. But it isn't down the rabbit hole, you know? Even an environmental vegan isn't down the rabbit hole. When you become that ethical vegan, something happens. And that happened to me. So, like the vampire craves blood, when you become an ethical vegan, you crave light. You crave the energy from the sun. You crave all the things that light is made of. And none of it is about darkness or death. None of it. I became highly sensitive. From that day on, I started living with the cows. The next day after I went vegan on November 1st, I walked outside and it had been raining. And the rain had stopped and there was a light fog drifting on top of the pasture. There was a fog. And I looked outside and I could see the cows out there. I could see the cows. And I remember standing there in my spiritual state of being a newborn vegan. A newborn vegan. And I looked around on a cattle ranch in Texas. And I said, "Wow, this could be a sanctuary for cows." What a thought, you know? Yesterday it was a cattle ranch. Today, by golly, it's a sanctuary. And that's the way I lived it. From that moment on, I started seeing that. Tommy would try to sell the cows, and I would say over my dead body, "You're not selling them cows." In fact, he was loading them all up one day. I walked out there and I said, "You will not take them cows to the sale barn." I was probably 2 weeks vegan. I walked out there and I said, "You take them cows up the road one more time, true story, I will follow you." I will go to that sale barn with your credit card, and I'll buy them all back, and I'll bring them all back home. And he was like, Renee, you stay out of my blankety blankety blank blank business. Jumped his foot, threw his hat down, and I was like, this is no longer a business. No longer. He said, it is my business. I said, no, it isn't. Them cows are now like my family. I went from seeing them as cattle to like, I was their only hope. Remember how I was raised? I saved my mama. I did everything. There was nothing in me that was going to let him kill them cows. He would kill them off my dead body. I almost killed my daddy at 8 years old with a butcher knife because he was killing my mama. So I had this fire burning in me, high pitta. I had this fire, by golly, you will not. I was like, he said, Renee, you're really crossing the line. You are crossing the line. I said, I'm over it. I ain't crossed it. I'm over it. By that time, on Facebook, I started a journal called Secret Journal of a Cattle Rancher's Life. On October 31st that night, I got on Facebook for the first time and looked up vegans. For the first time ever, I looked up what it meant to be a vegan. Because I'd heard about it, doing all the PETA research and all the stuff. I said, God, I'm a vegan. You know, my God, I'm a vegan. You know, I'm married to Tommy. I'm a vegan. Oh, my God. And so I was looking for a vegan that I could talk to. And I found one. She'd been vegan 17 years, her and her husband. Her name is Jeannie. She lives in Oregon. And she told me what I needed to do. She said, Renee, you need to have a voice for all of this. You need to put a plea out on Facebook and tell everybody in the vegan community what you're up to. And I was like, what? I'll have to do it behind my husband's back. She says, well, you do it. And so she gave me the courage to do it. I started amassing huge amounts of following. Hundreds of people, like every day, it was just like growing because I poured my heart out in this journal. I told my story of a cattle rancher's wife that was trying to save her husband's cows from slaughter. I wanted to save them. The only reason why we didn't divorce at that time is because, you know, he was afraid if he left me, I would take over and keep the cows. And I was afraid that if he stayed and I left, he would sell the cows. So we were at a stalemate. He was going to sell them all. He was just going to get out of the business altogether because he had this wife that went vegan. All I know is I started that journal, started amassing the following, and then I met Kip Anderson, which is the director of Cowspiracy, Seaspiracy, What the Hell, all the big documentaries. He came to me and he heard about it because my story started circulating around the vegan community like wildfire, because being a Texas cattle rancher going vegan was so, nobody had done that. Kip Anderson called me or texted me and he said, tell me what you're doing now. He's a high-powered documentarian. I told him the whole story and he said, wow, you need to do a fundraiser. You need to do a fundraiser and buy your husband's cows. And I was like, really? A fundraiser to buy my husband's cows? He said, well, you know, I did that with Cowspiracy. I don't know how much he raised. I was like, okay, well, show me how to do it. So anyway, between him and another attorney I met, we did that. We started putting it out there. I'm going to buy my husband's cows. Donations started pouring in. I went out to my husband. So now I'm feeling cocky, confident. He didn't know anything about this. He did not know I was doing all this.
Oh, yes.
And I went to him one day, right when I was raising all that money and all this was happening, out in the middle of the field again. I said, Tommy, if you're going to sell all these cows and you're going to get out of business, why don't you just sell them to me? Now, I'd already devised this, you know, we already had this thing going on he knew nothing about. He said, sell them to you? Are you crazy? I have lost my mind. This is what I said. I lost my mind and I got a new one. And I want to buy your cows. He said, you're my wife. You don't have any money. That's what he said. You know, I said, well, what if I could raise the money? What if I could raise the money? Would you let me buy your cows? And he didn't know I was raising money. He said, oh, yeah, right, Renee, sure. I'll let you. I said, okay. And he was just kidding. Like, he was like, nah, you're right. He said, I said, okay. So if you were going to sell them, how much would you sell them for? I could probably get 30, maybe 40,000, you know, depending on if some are pregnant. Because if they're pregnant, they get more money, you know. And if they're a cow-calf pair, they get more money. And so he said, you're my wife, I'll give them to you for 30. Deal. I said, will you let me lease the land for $1 a year? He said, sure, Renee. I said, how about 2 years? Sure, Renee. He laughed. What are you talking about? I said, just humor me for a second. If I can do it, will you let me? He said, yeah. He shook my hand. You do not. Tommy Sonny shakes your hand. It's done. You don't need a contract with that man. Okay? Anyway, I go back to my journal. Tommy said I could buy the cats. You know? And so here it goes, you know? I'm already raising the money. So now it really took off. And so next couple of days, I went into Tommy. And I said, Tommy, I've already raised like $7,000. He's like, what? I said, yeah. I've got this secret diary on Facebook, and I got all these vegan friends, and they want to help me buy the cows. He was just like mortified. What? Vegans? You know? I was like, yeah, you know, and I'm all excited. We're going to be a sanctuary. You know? I'm like all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know? We're going to be a sanctuary. You in Texas? You can't be a sanctuary for cows in Texas. I was like, well, we're going to, and I'm buying your cows. You said I could. You shook my hand. And so he was like, okay. So he could not go back on his word. He watched me raise the money. Every step of the way, he started getting more and more convinced. He started talking to some of my vegan friends. I would put him on the phone and say, listen to this. Documentaries would be recommended. He'd watch them. And so on May 2nd, 2015, Tommy went vegan. I went vegan October 31st, 2014. February the 20th, 2015, we became a nonprofit. We'll have our 10-year anniversary while I'm here. And May 2nd, we had our first ever vegan awareness festival and fundraiser for Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. We had about 100 people show up. And then that day, because we had a sponsor, we had Follow Your Heart cheese, we had So Delicious ice cream, we had all the stuff that, you know, Tommy just couldn't go vegan because he loved cheese, he loved ice cream. He loved all that. And so when he figured out, this is Tommy, that he could eat cheese and ice cream and he could be vegan, he was like, I remember he was going across the pasture and in the Kawasaki mule, and he was waving at me. And he was doing, I said, yeah. He was like, he held up this So Delicious ice cream. And he said, I'm vegan. And I was like, you're vegan. And so he went vegan on May 2nd. And y'all, it has been an interesting ride. And our story is going all over the world. We have a documentary out called Rowdy Girl that's had its world debut at Toronto Hot Docs. Its United States debut was at the Hampton Film Festival. And I just signed a publishing agreement for my book while I was here just a few days ago. So that's with Bloomsbury. Bloomsbury published all the Harry Potter books. So this has become a movement. There's something happening with this story. And I am the voice of Rowdy Girl, the cow. Rowdy Girl is still alive. She's still with me. I am here delivering her message. We are one. If it wasn't for that little calf waking me up and showing me the truth, I would not be standing here.
One can learn more about Rowdy Girl Sanctuary at rowdygirlsanctuary.org.
Thank you for listening.
I'd like to share news of 2 vegan events coming up in New England on June 7th, and one is in Connecticut. One can visit Connecticut Vegan Center, ctvegan.org, to hear about an event at a private residence in North Granby, Connecticut, to celebrate the 45th anniversary of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and it's Ingrid Newkirk's 75th birthday party as well. And in Massachusetts at Unity Farm Sanctuary in Sherburne, Mass, Dudley Fest. One can check it out at unityfarmsanctuary.org. Much thanks for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.